Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Quite candidly, we haven't accomplished anything yet. Like, we haven't won yet. This whole process was about winning championships, was about finishing in with a parade at the end of October down Michigan Avenue. Until that happens, I don't think any of us are really in a position to, you know, feel satisfied or feel like we've accomplished anything. We've had a nice winter. We've had, frankly, in our opinion, a real nice 3 years since we started with the Chris Sale trade 3 years ago last December. We think the very bright days are ahead of us, and we look forward to enjoying them. But in terms of feeling like we've accomplished something or being satisfied, ask me after the parade.
Middays on the Score.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and use those words. Why not? That's Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Sunday when they host Ohio State. Tip-off is set for 5:30 p.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. I've said it before. I'll say it again now. This is when it can be the most fun to be a fan of a pro sports team, when you know you're getting good. That this is what it's all about. Because sometimes even after you get to the top of the mountain, it's just like, okay, now what? Now that happened, and now what? But this is when you're supposed to really be buying in. And if you can't buy in, I like the fact, I think White Sox fans maybe have turned a corner a little bit, that there is some willingness to try to enjoy life.
Not even just baseball or the first month of the year. Just, life in general. Just kind of enjoy yourselves. It's not all doom and gloom despite the fog settling in on the first day of Sox Fest. I like that. It's a good thing.
Yeah, go ahead. And you're getting your cue here, and you're getting your cue from the manager. And words were sort of put in his mouth, but he had an opportunity to back away from it. But he was asked, you're going to be disappointed if you don't make the playoffs. He said that would be accurate.
I would be disappointed if we don't make the postseason. I think that would be accurate. We want to break through. We want this to be an impactful season. And I think you can't force those things. You got to allow them to obviously play themselves out. But I think man for man, now we at least have a little bit more ammunition to be able to go out and compete, hopefully on a consistent basis that puts those victories on the board.
I get that. I mean, this is the most talented team he's ever had. And they haven't played an inning of baseball. And I can tell you unequivocally that is the most talented team he's ever had. So that's one step in the right direction. I get his expectations. I understand his sense of disappointment if they don't make the playoffs. I wonder if White Sox fans, I tweeted the poll out actually when we started the show. I tweeted a poll on whether White Sox fans think the team can actually make the playoffs in 2020 at C1 McKnight. We'll get to the results at the end of the show. You got an hour to put your vote in and see what you think. I gave you three options. I don't think it's a playoff team. I think it's entirely possible that they get there. Everything goes right. They've got an interesting enough farm system that while it's heavy at the top and doesn't have a whole lot of range and depth down towards some of the minor leagues, it's still one of the better systems in baseball. And I bring this up because, let's say the Twins don't have a repeat of the season they had in 2019.
It'd be pretty hard to repeat that.
That's a lot of home runs.
Especially if they changed the ball.
And they didn't add a whole lot of pitching at all this offseason. I mean, they added some pitching. I just don't think it's much impact pitching. The Indians seem as willing to trade Francisco Lindor as they are to, put together a winner. They've already moved some things around on that team, and it's one that had a clear path to a division title like for a good long while now. So the Central it's gettable. The AL Central is a gettable division. Things break right, I think you can win it. But I don't know how much they're going to want to push to go get a division this year. I'm really interested to see it, because is it more important for the White Sox at this point?
When you say push, do you mean
use what remains of your prospect depth to go get a player, to go get somebody who matters? Nomar Mazara is a guy that you picked up for a 22-year-old A-ball outfielder that you've got some surplus of. Fine. Okay, you go take a flyer essentially on Nomar Mazara for a prospect that likely wasn't going to get used in your system. I think that's a solid move. You know, it's a solid trade of assets, but I don't think Nomar Mazara is a first division right fielder. I don't think he's that guy.
Would Yasiel Puig be?
That's a place you could upgrade. You know, I think defensively you've got some issues in left and in right field. And you're asking your center fielder, whether that's Luis Robert, Adam Engel, on a you know, really meaningful basis, to cover a lot of ground. Maybe you can go push in and get a right fielder and make some difference for you, a guy who's a little bit more well-rounded, a player, a guy that pushes Nomar Mazara to a bit more of a platoon role. Maybe you can go get a reliever that's got some impact to him as you bring some of the starting arms into the pen or into the rotation and have them matter more. I think if it's there for you this season, you push. I think if it's there for you this season, there's no reason to not go ahead and get something done, to go be proactive, because just look at the other side of town. Once you open the window and win a championship, fan bases in this sport are really quick to look at you and go, yeah, what's next? Go win multiple championships. Go make this window the most you can. Go make the most out of this window, as is completely possible. I mean, I know you've got control, you know, for 7 years of Luis Robert and for a good long time on Eloy Jimenez and a handful left on Giolito and all this, that window exists. But capitalizing on it is an incredibly difficult thing to do in baseball. And given what I've seen from fan bases the last handful of years, they're really quick to say, that's great, give me more.
Kevin is in Homewood, and he's on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Well, my question is this. I'm a diehard White Sox fan, been a White Sox fan all my life. And my question is this. Can Rick Renteria actually take this team to the next level? I haven't seen him do that with a team yet. Me, myself, after the All-Star break last year when they went on that losing streak, I was hoping that they'd fire him then and get one of them viable coaches that was out there without a job. So do you all really think that he can take us to the playoffs?
I don't know.
I mean, of course he can. I mean, it depends how much you think managers matter. And generally in baseball, the smartest baseball people think the best manager is worth 2.5 wins. The worst manager costs you 2.5 wins. I think if Rick Renteria is smack dab in the middle, you know, what are we talking about here?
I think it's really tough to evaluate his managerial career when he's been handed bad rosters every single year he's been a skipper. And that's just is what it is. I mean, like we started this segment, this is the most talented roster he'll ever have, and one of his most talented players hasn't seen a single pitch at the big league level.
Ned Yost won a World Series. I mean, come on.
Bad managers can win. Good managers can lose. I don't know. I would be surprised if Rick Renteria is the most limiting factor for the 2020 White Sox. In fact, it's impossible that Rick Renteria ends up being the most limiting factor for the 2020 White Sox. That is damn near impossible.
I don't think that there's going to be any point in this season where, as things unfold, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, if only they had somebody else, or if only they didn't have this guy. He's not a particularly polarizing manager. You don't really know he's there most of the time.
I suppose if your biggest concern is does he bunt too much, then the answer is probably yes.
But they can tell him to stop doing that.
Well, yeah, they absolutely can, and that can be overcome some too by Eloy Jimenez hitting a few more home runs, by Luis Robert hitting a few more home runs. I'm not saying just by home, I'm just saying producing better, hitting better.
If you're talking about the simplest stuff of not giving away outs, that's something where the people who are his bosses can say, hey, don't do that so often after the game. So, you know, why'd you bunt there? See, look what happened to our win expectancy when you did that.
Look at the bullpen arms too. I mean, look at the depth that you've kind of acquired in terms of pitching. You are not looking at Dylan Covey as guy that needs to pitch important innings for you. You're looking at Dylan, you just DFA'd him. I mean, this isn't a guy that you have constructed with the signing of Steve Cishek, who we talked to earlier this morning, which, by the way, radio.com app, you can go back and listen to that interview if you feel like it. It was a good one. Nice little chat with Steve. That's your guy that you've got from multiple innings that you want to, you know, fit over a difficult part of the lineup if maybe a starter gets bounced, or even trust him with some high leverage things too. It's that guy. It's not a Rule 5 dude that's hung on the roster for 3 years. There's a big, big difference there.
It's Bill on Capitol Hill out on a Friday on The Score.
Hello, lads. How's the empire?
Well,
it's okay.
It's all right, except for some viruses now in Chicago.
It happens. Not to me, but it happens. I'm appreciating your full-blown socksgasm, and I wanted to get in on it. Dan, your point about the anticipation. I remember being really excited in going into 06 after the 05 series, but I don't remember. It doesn't feel the same thing. I mean, we haven't felt this since the late 80s, early 90s, when there were talks about this kid called McDowell coming up, and wait till you hear about this first baseman that they've got. And it seems to me that, I share the scorn for Rick Renteria generally, but it seems to me that you don't really need to start arguing about your managers until you've got a veteran ball club, right? Because, that's when you find out, how a person actually manages. With these guys, I mean, there's going to be bumps and frankly, it feels like we're in the middle of an adrenaline rush right now. And when we'll know this team is really ready to make it. I mean, they may well get. I mean, who knows? Baseball's a weird game, so I mean, they could well make a run and put something together this year. But I think the thing that makes me so excited is that Han has already demonstrated that he's willing to play the long game, and he's shown that he can do it. That he can assemble a team that will last and contend for a while. So what I'm looking forward to most is just enjoying the pure adrenaline of watching young players go at it and sort of spaz out. But I'm also looking forward to that sort of seasoning and watching, Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson even as they age now and they move from young player into veteran, they become more gifted at the craft, and it's not just their young muscles doing it for them.
Sure, thanks, Bill. It's also what the team is embracing culturally, and I do think it's important to note that if you've seen the billboards, that have gone up, if you've seen what they're doing with the Change the Game stuff and how they're marketing some of these young faces and young faces of color and young faces of style and personality
and joy
and confidence and joy. I didn't really think about it at the time as what it was, but it has become clearer over time that the Tim Anderson bat flip against the Royals was an inflection point. It was a cultural inflection point. The reaction to it, the way Sox fans, a certain younger segment of Sox fans rallied around it.
And the team it was against.
And the team it was against. There was a lot going on there. There was a lot of subtext in that moment. And I give the White Sox a great deal of credit where instead of trying to not ignore it, but to make it sort of almost a centerpiece, to see what they're doing now and to see how much they've got the backs of the players. It's twofold. First of all, I think a young and energetic segment of fandom, that's the baseball they expect now. It's the Javier Baez. It's loving the game and playing it out loud and not being afraid of the fine line between being in feeling yourself and taunting the opponent. It's a lot more cool now. The baseball police, I think, are being shouted down in large part, and I'm all for it. But for a team to really lean into it, to say, we're going to put ourselves out there a little bit. We've got a young, flashy, exciting, maybe brash team that's got to earn it. You have to earn the ability to do it. Tim Anderson won a batting title.
Yeah,
whatever you think that means. He's legit. And I think the White Sox want to legitimize themselves while also endorsing a very ebullient, outgoing style of play.
I think Tim Anderson's a bigger focal point for the 2020 season than maybe we've talked about yet. And I want to get into the young shortstop. The attitude with which he plays the game is kind of infectious. And remember when that bat flip against Kansas City happened, you and I went nuts.
Yar!
For it. And we loved it. We loved that it was against that team. We loved that you knew he was going to get hit by somebody on that team anyway, and that guy just got DFA'd by the Royals as it is. So that feels, all that stuff feels good about it. But I remember, I wish I remember the name of the caller. but it was as a Sox fan who was a little old school, liked Tim Anderson, but you know was still a little wary about what that whole thing was last night. And he said, "Well, is Tim still going to do this when he's in an 0 for 20? Is Tim Anderson, is he even a good player? Is he going to be this guy when he gets there?" And Tim's talked about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. even when things go badly, he holds that. He understands he is that person, can be that person, and can play the game and work the game that way. He did go through a rough stretch shortly thereafter. Then he bounced back and won a batting title, for what that's worth. He's a productive player. I think, too, and this is something Ricky Renteria talked about some yesterday. This is something Rick Hahn talked about, too, and I want to play a cut from Rick Hahn in a second. Tim Anderson's defense is going to mean a whole lot more this season for the White Sox than it has in the past.
You better believe it.
It's going to mean a
especially
lot
especially with Dallas Keuchel out there.
I was looking at, you know, we're looking at outfield outs above average when those new stats came out just a little while ago. The infield outs above average had existed for a little bit now.
And he was, what, a negative one?
Tim, let me sort by.
I'm pretty sure he was negative one.
Sorted by team right now. Yeah, it's negative one, which puts him right about, you know, kind of the average of Major League shortstops, I guess. He was the 21st ranked, so not average, I apologize, the 21st ranked Major League shortstop in outs above average. Above him, Bregman at zero. Below him, Gleyber Torres at minus three. Your top five in terms of this number, you know, your best fielding shortstop, Javi Baez, Andrelton Simmons, Nick Ahmed, Trevor Story, Paul DeJong. And that matters, too, because you remember when the young Cardinals shortstop, Paul DeJong, was coming up, that defense was brutal. He was mostly compared to Tim Anderson. He has made a leap. He has the athleticism to play that position. So does Tim. Rick Hahn made some comments about what he thinks the future capability of Tim Anderson at defensively is.
I think Luis Robert is going to be a joy to watch defensively, Roman center field for the very long time in a White Sox uniform. But there's still room for improvement at certain other spots around the diamond. Tim Anderson is going to be a Gold Glove contender at some point during his career at shortstop. Firmly believe that, given his ability to get the balls and make plays that other people aren't unable to make. Getting him more consistent on some of the routine things is still a work in progress. But you know, I think you're going to see better things out of him, and Moncada is going to continue to acclimate very well at third base.
That's high praise. You know, and I know that the Gold Glove
doesn't mean
not a whole lot. And right. I think Rick Hahn understands that too. You know, if we're talking about a Fielding Bible Award, that's one thing. But what Rick Hahn did just
also notice the Andrelton Simmons Award.
Well, yes, he just kind of owns that. Well, Javi's going to get it. Anyway, I think what he's talking about here is that he can be a top division offensive and defensive player at the toughest position to play. I think that might be true with Tim Anderson. The raw skill, the ability and athleticism is there. The consistency hasn't been. I think if you look at a guy too, and White Sox fans know this, you look at where Marcus Semien was and where he's ended up defensively. He had a minus four infield runs above average last season.
Did not keep him from being an MVP candidate.
Do you understand how bad Marcus Semien was playing shortstop?
Yes, I do.
It was atrocious. That guy put in so much work. And I bring him up because he's a former White Sox player, a guy that they moved, thinking that they, you know, had something left in the pipeline. There, I think the idea of how you develop, how baseball teams develop players defensively has altered some over the last few years. I think that expectation is there for Tim. I was surprised to hear Rick Hahn say it that way and put it that clearly. And I think, you know, maybe reaching that top tier of his potential is still a little bit away. But his play and his playing above, you know, a positive number, or at a positive number in infield runs above average, would be absolutely huge for the White Sox in 20.
We want to hear from you, the White Sox fan, here at the start of Sox Fest down at McCormick Place. There's going to be a whole lot of news coming out of there, we think. I mean, as young guys are talking, and this, look where they started. Look where they started with these expectations. Mm-hmm. Look what we just played from Rick Renteria and how you'd be disappointed they don't make the playoffs. Rick Hahn talking about the possibility of multiple championships and talk to me after the parade. It's good stuff. And what happens is when they set the tone from the top, you're going to hear more of this. These are exciting times for the White Sox. So we still have tickets to give away to see Matchbox 20 at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. We got calls to take at 312-644-6767. Bernstein and McKnight, you got the score. Is that rain or is that just mist and fog out there?
I don't know.
Yes. Weather's all weird.
I don't know. I think it's everything.
All of
the kinds of precipitation. It's kind of gross.
Yeah, it is kind of. But people are walking around without umbrellas, so we always sometimes get a different impression elevated up here from what we see. Mm-hmm. And these are tinted windows, and that changes everything, too. So I never know. Is Not Dead Guy down there?
Not Dead Guy is not down there. Or at least it'd be a soggy nap if you were down there.
We are talking about the White Sox because these are heady times. And it's okay. Get out over your skis a little bit.
Why not?
Have fun with this. The anticipation is part of it. When you know you're going out for a great dinner. When you know you're going on vacation. The idea, I was talking about this with McNeil, when you're planning for a fishing trip, half the fun of the fishing trip is getting your tackle box ready, is fetishizing your lures.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Of knowing that everything is just right and hooks are sharpened and you've put the new line on the spool.
All right.
I mean, going through the equipment, double-checking, triple-checing.
I get it.
Making sure everything's right. Sort of like how I feel if I know I'm going to a really good restaurant and I get on the website and I read reviews and I look at the pictures of the food
and I try to
optimize my meal to get it right to win the meal. That's what this is with the White Sox right now, thinking about lineups and picturing
your personal success plate.
That would be the success plate.
Well, you got to set your success plate.
I don't have the
sure.
growth plate at this point in my career. I have to set up my Jim Boylan success plate.
Put that on top of your timeout charger.
Yeah.
And your teacup of success.
This is John in Joliet. He is on the score. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know what? First of all, calendar dates are circled. Birthdays are adjusted. I mean, for Sox games this year, my family is so excited.
How can you adjust birthdays?
Well, there's some games that we want to go to on Saturday, so we're going to have them on Sundays.
Oh, the celebration of the birthday.
Okay. So, yes, okay. Yes. All right, Dan, you're getting me, man. But the thing is, the excitement is there. Yes, we're excited as far as I'm concerned as a Sox fan. But Eloy's defense, really, the balls, the team's running on him because of a lack of arm strength. I mean, I enjoy watching him hit people at the restaurant in center field with the bombs he hits. But the defense is really a concern. And I really hope that it gets worked on because Lou Bob's going to have a lot of balls to be chasing in those gaps.
Yep.
Yes.
He is. He's got a lot of work to do.
That is the most standout thing for me. I was looking at outfield out above average on MLB StatCast, or MLB Savant, rather. Eloy Jimenez was the 88th ranked outfielder in this stat out of 92. Minus 11 was the number there. This is going to be fun, that little Egyptian town there. Nomar Mazara had a 0 outfield outs above average. That's 58th out of 92. So you've got literally, in right field. And very, very bad.
We got to come up with a name for it because people were saying that it should be like Egyptian Bob.
Egyptian Bob.
Bob from Nile.
Oh, Bob from Nile. It's good.
It could be Bob from either Cairo or Cairo, depending on whether it's Illinois or not.
Bob from Memphis, maybe.
Yeah, but we got to settle on something here because that is the voice of an ancient Egyptian mummy from a 3D printed set of vocal cords.
If you couldn't tell.
Obviously.
You knew that. You knew it was Egyptian. That much you knew.
But what if
success?
The success plate.
Success meh plate.
How do you default to plate?
I don't know. I don't. You've asked me a question I can't possibly have the answer to.
So weird. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves that comes with a $5,000 signing bonus? Well, go to ChicagoWolves.com/sprint to learn how to win the Sprint Power Play Payday.
Speaking of questions that actually did get answered, and in a kind of fun way, Don Cooper, White Sox pitching coach, was on with Mully and Haw earlier this morning, and the guys were kind of, they're shooting stuff back and forth, and they wanted to ask him about modern analytics, slow motion cameras, rapsodos, all that kind of stuff. I thought Coop's response and answer to it was A, entertaining, and B, pretty informative to where the White Sox are at right now. David Haw asked the question. We'll bring it to you here.
Coop, how does an old school pitching coach like yourself stay current in an age of spin rates and pitching labs and everything that's changing with technology? How do you stay up to date on that stuff?
I certainly would have to be considered old school, but I'm not stupid, and I'm not going to let new stuff that I get in the way, you know, of what I'm doing. You know, if there's a way to get somebody else out, I want it. I consider myself a teacher, and these kids now, some of them deal with numbers better than words. So you've got to be able to reach those guys. And so I learned the numbers. I've got the numbers. There's people out there that think that I'm so old school that I'm against it. I don't use it. It's a tool.
Right.
It's a tool. But listen, I'm not going to apologize for 42 years of professional experience. You can't beat that. Combined with the new stuff, I'm going to have superpowers.
When you talk about all this stuff, everybody gets really worked up. It's almost like if you're not in one camp or the other camp, there's no crossover.
Let me tell you,
crossover.
For a while it created some white noise for me because I didn't get it. What turned out, it's a tool. And again, the Rapsodo's a tool. The high-speed camera's quite a good tool because kids, people learn by visual as well. So when we come in there after a sideline, let's say, and we're working on Ronaldo Lopez's curveball, and you can see his hand is not in the correct position with the slow, high-speed camera, which is unbelievable. They see that, oh, no, you got to get here.
Yes.
So it certainly helps. It's a tool that we use daily. If somebody uses the Rapsodo and the high-speed camera more than us, I'd like to shake their hand. It's out there. We know what it is. And it turns out that over the years, I was always seeking these numbers that they have now, but we didn't have numbers. Because if your body, if we get your mechanics, your delivery in the right position, you got a chance to throw more quality pitches. Here's what I say to people, and to catch a ground ball at the major league level, to hit at the major league level, to field at the major league level, with that level that has to be of efficiency in any position, your body has got to be in the correct position to do this over and over again. Mm. So that's always been the foundation for me. But now we've got some other tools that are even going to help that. And again, I think, too, it's also reaching maybe the millennials. I hate to use that word, but this is how a lot of these kids are learning now. So as a teacher, I want everything that's out there that I might be able to help them with. So me not being on board with this is fake news.
The idea of him having superpowers opens up all kinds of ideas.
It really does.
It's the idea of Super Cooper.
I'm going to have superpowers.
No. That's to imagine what would his superpowers be? Like he would need an origin story and everything, but it would be like
eating soup without a spoon.
Well, he already has that. I mean, just the ability to just
beer without hands.
The ability to always know if leftover cookies are within a certain radius.
There's some leftover bacon afoot.
Right.
I must find it.
I'm going to have superpowers.
Always knowing which trash can has the leftover eggs thrown out already.
That's another great story.
It was really awesome seeing Coop. Brought back a lot of memories. But I mean, listen, if you listen to what the guy says, if that's true, the idea, I mean, if you have reached him with this idea that as a coach...
You reach Mel Stottlemyre, for God's sake. That's the guy that was talking spin rate.
If you've reached a coach and gotten him to the point where, like, this stuff that you've been teaching for 42 years has always kind of been an effort to find these numbers, that's terrific. That is amazing. That ought to work. What are you laughing at?
The texter's weighing in with the superhero Don Cooper powers. The 708 says his mouth doesn't burn when eating hot foods. He can just grab a frozen pizza right out of the oven. I got yelled at by my dental hygienist after I made the Tombstone pizza mistake.
I don't understand what it is about human beings.
Every time.
But it doesn't matter how old you are,
every time,
how practiced you are, or how many different types you've tried. If you make a frozen pizza, you take it out of the oven and you immediately eat it.
Yep. No matter what you know better.
You fry the underside of your mouth. You have that little piece of skin hanging down from the roof of your mouth where if you pull it feels like it's attached to your brain.
Yeah, you get the hangy. And she was so mad at me, my hygienist. Oh, Daniel, what did you do? How did you do? You are still smart, boy. You do something like this. I was like, oh, sorry, Irina. I just, you know, it's a Tombstone pizza. We do what we have to do. We're wired.
Wild. Tombstone. I get it.
I mean, what do you want me to do?
do. I'm sorry.
Wait 3 minutes? Set a timer for this pizza after I've just waited a whole 12 for
it
to cook?
It's not a steak. I'm not resting it, right? I understand if it's, you know, if I'm pulling a steak off the grill and I've got to put it under foil for a couple of minutes, let it come together. But
the cheese was still on fire. What are you doing?
When we come back, we're going to give away a pair of tickets. You want to go see Matchbox 20 at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on August 21st. Be listening for your opportunity to win. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score. From you at C1 McKnight, I need a single-digit number.
4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Matchbox 20 at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on August 21st. Talk about the joy of anticipation. You get those tickets, and you can circle that date, move the birthdays around.
Get
ready for August 21st, when it's going to be a whole hell of a lot nicer than it is now.
Sorry, son, we're moving your birthday. If the Sox play the Twins that day.
I love that.
You were no longer born on the 22nd.
I'm sorry.
You don't get to do it.
Nope, you don't get to age another year at this point. It's not going to be registered. It does not count.
So at the beginning of the show, I put out a poll. I put a poll in the field. I just wanted to know if White Sox fans think they're going to make the playoffs in 2020. The team, not the fans themselves. I gave three options, right? Hell yes, because that's what you do. Close, but not yet. And the third option was I hate things people know. 55% said hell yes, they make the playoffs this year. Close, but not yet was 37.4. And I hate things, people know. Got 7% of the vote. That's only, you know, it's been up since the start of the show. So we've got, you know, 21 hours left in the polling here. We'll see how it changes. I'd be interested to see on Monday.
Don't influence it.
I'm not going to influence it one way or the other.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of did earlier in the show, but it was before I told everybody about it in the first place.
This segment is brought to you by Campland RV. RV buying made easy. Ring in the new year with Campland RV. Enjoy special RV show pricing all month long. Stop by the dealership or visit CamplandRV.com for more details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Just a short drive off I-94 in Northwest Indiana. Do you think the fact that they have moved Soxfest from the Chicago Hilton and Towers now to McCormick Place, is that an indication of greater interest?
Yeah, I think they had more bodies there. I heard something like 6,000 people for day one, I think. I mean, that's a lot of folks.
Do they still do the garage sale of old items, game-used bats and balls and jerseys, of random dudes?
Yeah, I didn't go last season, but I've been, you know, every year for the last 10 rather than last, and I that stuff is all still there.
Yeah, that's a great
thing. Shows and broadcasts and interviews and stuff.
Yeah,
and they're all just right there.
But I'm saying, like, it's like to actually buy stuff.
Yeah.
I remember one year, like, Fred Huebner came back with a Carlos Castillo jersey because I was the only one that fit him. And others have found just the really, really random game used stuff.
When I was working on the doll show a few years ago, one of the guys bought me at the trade show. Bought me a Bill Melton autographed and signed 8x10 glossy because he thought I needed it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at it going, I didn't need this today. And I put it down. I do the next segment of shows or whatever. And sure enough, I look over at the Bill Melton and all of his, you know, sexiness and everything from the 70s. There, I did need that. I did need that photo.
Somebody understood there would come a time when you would need that photo.
I've got it hung up at the place. It's in a place of prominence in the office.
We will say good afternoon to Lawrence Holmes. He's going to have Rick Hahn joining him on his show at 1 o'clock. So that will be something you're going to want to stick around for. And by the way, for those who want to hear all of the Don Cooper interview, we played some of that. There was an earlier with Molly and Haw. You can go to 670thescore.com and click around for all sorts of interviews, podcasts, however you want to listen to it on the radio.com app too. It is right there for you. So I suggest you do that. Transition coming your way next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.